From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What up, fuckers? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You just heard a clip, or you're about to hear a clip.
You are about to hear.
You're about to hear a clip from our show, Guys, We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. This week, we interview stand-up comedian Nico White, and we talk about how to act on a first date.
How to act when a girl's charging at you with a knife.
That too. That was a crazy one. This is a fun episode. Nico's a great friend of ours. If you want to listen to the whole thing, you can subscribe to the Luminary channel on Apple Podcasts by going to apple.co/GWF. Again, that's apple.co/GWF.
So on first dates, I realized because I went on a first date recently and it had been like years. It had been over 2 years. And I was really interested because I've done a lot of introspection. And I was able to observe myself on the date, which was interesting. And I was like, oh, and I enjoyed my own company. But I did find myself going, how much of myself do I reveal?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, how do you know? Like, I guess you want to, they have to earn it, right?
Yeah, and it depends. It depends on who it is and what that relationship is going to end up being, right?
Like,
I got some women in my life that have been there for a while. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They know more about me than most people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
romantically?
Yeah.
They're in your life? Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, so you have an intimate.
And then just in general, like, we might not even be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but we still cool.
Yeah. Right.
Whenever I need that, like, you know, those breasts to cry on, I can go there.
The breasts to cry on?
Yeah.
I need a breast to cry on.
Yeah.
You're crying on breasts and then not sucking on those titties? Is that still happening, Nico? Oh my God.
If we're friends, they might, you know what I mean? They might be in a thing.
Take the breast out. They might be in a thing.
But then you can still cry on their breasts?
I mean, we're friends. What do you want? What does a hug look like?
My male friends don't cry on my breasts.
I mean, I'm not a... What the fuck do you mean?
Well, you're crying on them.
I was commenting on being an emotional weight on women when you're not fucking them.
Oh, okay, but like...
It's a common problem, so I was just looking into the situation.
Get over yourselves, because that happens to us all the time.
I don't do it.
Yeah, you don't, but a lot do. There's plenty of times.
Everyone needs to be on check, but I just, in my experience, it's been 100% men. Statistically, the statistics are 100%.
It's a type.
That's because you fucking men 100% of the time. That's what.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about... I'm talking about because I have so many... I have such a uneven gender... sex breakdown because I am a comedian. Mm-hmm. So I just have... More of my friends are men than women.
Not by choice, but just by circumstance. Okay.
And it tends to be... only the men who are basically using me as free therapy.
I just
see that happen a lot.
Oh, okay, fair.
You know, like there's a type of guy that's like neurotic and like worries all the time about everything. And
mean
they
like
wanna,
people?
They want to dump. Yeah, I guess.
Right, but it's like if I'm putting in the work to take care of my mental health with mental health professionals, mm-hmm. and I've talk about it nicely with people, and you know, it's hard to request someone go to therapy because it always comes off
this
badly.
Is why dudes don't speak to anyone. Yeah, you know I'm saying.
Good. I would love that.
Nah. People don't get it. Like, just listen to how that was described to me. You use us as an emotional thing when you're not with us, and it's like, No, we're just friends.
There's an amount though to go to your friends, and we talk about this with women
now,
in relationships
that's
too.
With people. People take advantage of shit.
Your friends, you know, there's a certain amount you can go into a problem with a friend until you tip it over into professional territory.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm not saying not to go to your friends about anything, but it's like if it's the same thing over and over again, and then a lot of people use, and this goes both ways, use their partner as a therapist, and that I think you really need to stay away from.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously, if something happens in your life that you need comfort, but it's like the breaking down of how it affects your psyche. It does not fall on the shoulder of your partner.
Now, y'all hear that? Keep your emotions and all that shit. Keep your baggage out of other people's hands.
Well, it also, too, how to fully process it.
Because everybody's going through shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even go to Well, yeah. Sometimes I'll go, like, for dating stuff, if I'm confused about something. Like, talking, a lot of times talking things out helps me understand it. Not even that I'm like, what do you think or what would you do? But I'm like, I need to figure it out. And it's hard to do in my head because there's so much other shit up there.
Yeah.
Do you go to therapy?
No, I talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Nah, for real. Like, if
And stand up, talking, even talking to crowds, right?
Yeah. And that too. You know what I mean? But just trying
see
to figure
feel
out
to you.
What your logic is to what your situation is.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? I get a lot out of reflecting. Like, if I'm really over something in the moment, I might not be able to process it. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to give it a day, 2 days, maybe even a week.
You gotta marinate.
Yeah.
You gotta marinate.
Sure.
And that marination could take a while sometimes, but after the fact, it's usually better.
Yeah, yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys.
Yeah.
I remember you told me, I think you were telling me a story about a date you went on and there was a knife involved.
Oh yeah. Well, that wasn't a
and
date.
I was very impressed, or it wasn't a date.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was very impressed with you took your emotions out of it. Like, in a way that I was like, wow, I don't know that I'd be able to do that. My ego would have been lit up.
I don't know. I don't know if I took my emotions out of it. This is the most scared I've ever been in my life.
It was. Yeah, I guess maybe when you were telling me the story, you were like, you seemed like, what happened? Do you mind telling us?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I need to know about the story.
One of the few times I ever tried, like, walking a girl down the street and getting a number, and it worked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It turned out to be like, I shouldn't have. So,
like, you just straight up hollered at a girl?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, a lot of times, like, some people that works for, some people that don't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I was never the type
What was your line? Where were you like, you're so beautiful?
Nah. Okay. My shit was something more along the lines like, you know, just you're beautiful. And can I get your number?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I saw her, I looked up, and I was like, try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And she thought it was cute. She gave me a number, and we started talking. But she would ask me to come hang out with her. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And she would call me a lot.
Oh.
You feel me? And it was like, hey, I'm out. And I would leave my phone in my book bag. I'd be at an open mic at 5. I would get home at like 12.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm just out.
Yeah.
Oh, what you doing? What you doing? You always ignoring me. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just
living
out.
My life. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So she told me to come see her. I'm thinking it's going to go a different way. I go up there to see her. I'm in fucking Washington Heights. And all we doing is arguing. And I'm like, yo, I don't.
And you weren't exclusive at this point, right?
Fuck no.
Right.
Fuck
okay.
No.
Wait, are you even dating at that? Like, what's happening?
No.
Did you hang out before?
We had talked before. We had hung out a couple
did
times.
Did you fuck?
Okay.
No, we hadn't fucked
up.
Oh,
so it wasn't even. Okay. Okay.
This is just
it was maybe going there possibly.
Maybe going there possibly.
Okay.
So now, but you got to understand, we was young. Like, I'm like, what, 19 at this time?
Okay. Okay.
So she gets me up there. We arguing. And I'm like, yo, I don't need this shit. I'm leaving.
Right.
Right. Now, the apartment's kind of like we set up in here.
Yeah.
Right. But the hallway to the door, like where your wall is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That came all the way back. And then you could sit in the living room. Her kitchen was right
Long
there.
Long hallway.
And then like the bedrooms and all that shit back here. So I see when she goes, go that way. And I'm putting my jacket on my shoulder and I hear shit, you know, shuffling around in the drawer. So I'm not thinking nothing of it. I go to walk. I slide to the hallway. I see her standing there. Knife her in front door, telling me to sit down.
Ooh.
My God.
Sit the fuck down. You go sit the fuck down.
Ooh.
What?
So I'm really.
How big is it? It was a bit like a fucking.
It was a knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, what you doing? Because that's what I do when I get real scared.
Nervous laughter, yeah.
What you doing? Sit the fuck down. You go sit the fuck down. You go sit the fuck down.
Shit.
You gonna do what? You know what I'm saying? Sit the fuck down. Sit the fuck. So now I'm standing there and I'm like, yo, if you cut me, I'm telling you, right? All the fucking threats and shit.
Right.
So this is only like really 20 seconds.
Right.
She rushed me. Now, when I say rushed me, she didn't run at me like this or anything like that. Shit was just in her hands, right? Okay. My reach is crazy. I was able to grab her.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and you
hit that door, and I was at the door for like fucking 10 seconds because I don't know how to open this shit. Yeah. I don't live here.
Oh, yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? New York City, Georgia, tough. Yeah.
I get out. I booked it for like 12 fucking blocks.
Damn.
Before I stopped running.
Yeah.
Oh, my right? God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
And to this day, that's the craziest thing that ever happened to me. And I didn't go back to that area for like almost 2 years.
Did she ever try to contact you again?
She how? Shit. I blocked,
you blocked
that number
her, right? Yeah, right,
immediately.
Did she find you on social media? Or was that not...
Nah, that she didn't even look.
Okay, yeah.
She didn't even look. Yeah. I got a call from like a couple numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't like show up at your comedy show or something.
Right, because that was a comedian. People always know where we are.
I didn't have a website back then.
Okay.
Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, I wasn't the most passed act around town at
the time. Right, okay. Right. So you weren't as accessible to come see, to come hunt
down. You could come find me, but you would have to really look because it's like my headshot and bio. It would say Nico White. But it wouldn't be my face.
Right.
You feel me? So that was the scariest thing. And that's when I realized, like, yo, motherfuckers can really not give a fuck about what you went through when you're telling the story.
Yeah.
Because I started telling the joke about that not too long after it happened. And I was at OZ Tavern once, and this lady was like, see, you could just put her in a bear hug and took her out the way. She had.
I like that everyone knows things they know how to fight like that.
Right.
You don't know how you're going to react until there's a woman with a knife in front of you blocking the door.
But this is the thing, right? The whole thing about it is, in the joke, I say I punched her in the forehead, right? It's a lie. Just grabbed and I fucking ran.
Yeah, yeah.
But how you telling me that, yo, I could have just hugged somebody who was threatening to stab me.
Hug the murder out of her.
Right.
You can't hug the murder out of someone.
What are you talking about?
Just hold
about?
Someone with a knife in close. That's a good thing.
Right by your body.
A lady at Stand Up New York told me, why didn't you just sit down? And I was like, okay.
What?
All right, thanks.
Oh my
thanks.
God.
Appreciate you.
Oh my
you.
God. Well, I think in a woman's head, they're all assuming that there's a part of the story that you're left
telling
out where you did something so bad that you deserve to be accosted with a knife, which I don't know what that thing could have possibly been.
You,
but
right.
I ain't even that guy.
They're all like, well,
no,
what you
I know
do?
That. But yeah. I mean, and also there's not, I mean, even if, you know, if you were in an exclusive relationship, cheated on her, you had kids to get there's no reason
shouldn't have taken a knife
to be approached with a knife.
It's over. Yeah, that's years ago. Shit, I hope she's fine.
Yeah,
you know
yeah. That's
saying?
Actually, we just tricked you into a PSA against catcalling.
Well, actually.
That's what happens, Nico.
Have we ever talked about, like, what's y'all perspective on catcalling, like, for real?
It never happens anymore.
Yeah?
I never hear it.
I lived in Harlem for 10 years.
Yeah, I'm from Harlem.
Yeah. So I mean, it happened for a long time every day. But as I caught on very quickly, Harlem is different than the rest of Manhattan. There's a different culture there. I immediately noticed it, even like from how you pay at a bodega. Like, there's no real line. You just slap money on the counter. And I just figured it out quickly, the same as you adapt to any new environment that you're in. And I quickly realized, I was like, I'm the new girl here. I have to adapt to Harlem. Harlem doesn't have to adapt to me, and I adapted. So when I was living in Harlem, it was actually the only time I would tolerate catcalling, because it is a part, like, hollering is a part of the culture in Harlem.
Look at that. God, I can't tell you how hard I smiled on the inside.
It's very easy. If you're just like an observant, even a kind of observant person, and most comedians are pretty observant. Mm-hmm. And I would like joke with people. I actually got my favorite cat call of all time. I've talked about it on here before, but it was so good. Someone screamed across the street on like 127th Street. They were like, she got a big nose, but she's still pretty. And I laughed so fucking hard. I think about it all the time, and I laugh so hard.
That's adorable.
Because I had a joke about it for a while, and I was like, part of my problem with catcalling is that it feels very like it's for everyone. It's very run of the mill, but that one was customized. I knew it was for me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I really appreciated that he took the time to curate a special little catcall for me.
That's so nice.
Cause I think that's the problem. I think truly for me, my problem is not that you're shooting your shot. My problem is that you're shooting your shot at everyone. Did you even see my fucking face?
Well,
you know?
Right, that you are a walking piece of meat. It's not that I don't want to feel like a piece of meat or sexualized or whatever, but it's like, you're saying that to every chick.
Right.
But also,
women I don't want to feel special.
Yeah. But I never, the only time, like, I don't think that many chicks were going to get mad at any, like, you walking down and someone going, hey, beautiful, or like, you're pretty, or what. Like, that never bugged me. It bugged me when I was PMSing, because I was like, I want to throw my anger somewhere. Yeah. And now you're saying, hey, beautiful, I'm just going to give it to you. Sure. By just saying, fuck you. But like, yeah, I never, there's times when it, when something turns into something that feels like stalking, then that's when I have a problem.
Well,
with
yeah,
it.
If somebody's following you down a block and accosting you, that's different.
Yeah, that's just a different,
I just always thought.
Sometimes I'm like, thanks.
Yeah.
I always like a joke with people or this, well, towards my last couple years in Harlem, I started going, you're prettier. like a real weird.
But did just, it work for you?
Just because, like, well, I mean, I wasn't trying to get hit on. I always kept walking. My rule was always never stop walking. You reply, but you never stop walking, because I didn't actually want to engage with anyone.
Of course.
I just made it fun for me, you know? And I also, like, you know, any opportunity to make someone laugh, you know, a cashier at checkout, like, I always take an opportunity to make someone laugh if I can. And like, I'm like, look at it. I'm doing free crowd work in here.
I'm telling you, I think our perspective on this, because I think the thing that happens with hollering, when it works, you ever see, like, you know, when a comedian kills it, how they respond to it?
Yeah.
That's almost how the press responds.
Yeah.
And then when a comedian bombs and they go fuck the crowd, that's kind of how devil's people respond.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's so accurate. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, y'all don't get it. Like, because I'm from Harlem. Like, again, it's part of the bricks there.
Yeah.
It's not what some people might describe it as. Like Corinne said, it's kind of like France. You move to France, you kind of got to learn how to speak French.
Well, it's also too, like, a lot of the catcalls could be like funny too. So it's like a bunch of comics talking
and
to each
other.
And
that shit works. You know what I mean?
I saw it work so many times. That's why I was like, I can't speak to what the women of Harlem want. I am not a woman of Harlem. I'm a woman who's living in Harlem. Like, there's a difference. And and the only thing that ever bothered me is there was a couple times, I mean, there's always, you know, right when summer happens, the toe cat calls, which I could do with which I could do without.
Wait, like, the camisa?
Oh no, toe.
They want a feet.
Oh,
your toes
your
out.
Toes?
That's a lot of toe specific cat calls.
What do they say about the toes?
I want to suck on those toes. That just a little. That's a little much for me. Just because it's like, okay, when you start telling me like what you, when you start shouting what you want to do sexually, and then I have gotten like the lips of my own vagina described to me when I'm wearing like athletic shorts.
Sweet.
You know, that's gonna be a pass for me. But
that's a pass for me.
It just feels like I would argue, even if a woman has responded to that, that maybe that woman has some issues in her own life.
I would argue
that.
Maybe they're trying to work out those issues.
The thing I don't like is like licking of the lips and like that.
The salivating
that,
it for
you. You say whatever you want to me, but that one I'm like,
the actual cackle.
All right, Hutch, don't say that type of shit into these cameras. Say whatever you want to me. You're going to bring on a lot of bullshit in the street. Sam, stop them, bro.
Well, if anything, now I look at it like, I don't really pay attention to catcalls because I just always have my headphones and I'm always listening to like a self-help book and I'm so in it. So many of my friends have been like, oh, I saw you on the street and I was yelling your name and you didn't hear me at all.
They recognize you by your headphones? Yeah, it's become a tell for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, the JBLs, part of my uniform, dog.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't see me with these, I'm probably having a bad day.
Right. So what's your dating life now? What are you
boring.
Doing?
Boring. The pandemic turned that shit into nothing.
Did you ever do apps or no?
No, I tried it once.
It's like,
and
not
it's
human.
Like, once the shit was like, all right, I need to connect to your Facebook account, I was like, what are we doing here?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What app is that?
I forget which one it was, but
they're
it's
all
like.
They're all connected to Facebook and you go, no one uses Facebook young anymore.
Nigga,
what are you doing?
And Facebook is trying to be a dating app now. And it picked the, it has a picture of me in front of the knitting factory looking like I just bought the shit. talking about, oh, you want to do this for Roman?
Doing that cat call with a hand.
Yeah, not even. That ain't even my look. I look like a young version of the Allstate man that just got told that he could be on Degrassi in the picture that they picked.
Yeah.
And they put fucking pink, they put like pink decoration on the corner. Beat it. Ain't nobody trying to find love through Facebook.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And that's, or if they are, that's not the kind of love I want.
No, I don't log in to Facebook. That's
okay,
why
I got you.
I keep, the only reason I keep Facebook is so I could do promoted posts on Instagram.
Fair.
That's
fair,
it.
Fair.
I just do it so I don't like lose a complete touch with all my friends from high school.
Same, yeah.
But that's basically, I'll like every now and then I'll look in like one of my high school friends or just person from my graduating class, I can't say friend, yeah. Is on The Circle on Netflix right now. And everyone was going wild.
Is that
about
a reality
that.
Show?
Yeah. It's a really good one. I'm very immersed in it right now.
Nice.
And it's a reality show based on social media. So based around social media, not on social media. It's very interesting. It's good if you like a game of strategy and to see like,
okay.
Because I would be so terrible at it because I'm not good at like lying or manipulating or being anyone other than myself.
Right.
Like you need to be really good at playing other roles other than yourself. And I am not.
Fair enough.
I'm not good at that.
What up, fuckers? Thank you for listening to that clip from our interview with Nico White. If you want to hear the entire conversation, head on over to the Luminary channel on Apple Podcasts. Just go to apple.co/GWF. That's apple.co/GWF.
Enjoy.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.